just got back from New York. Hi, people. You know, life does have its moments. It really does. You're traveling in a car with fellow believers. You're staying at a house in Seneca Falls, New York, with fellow believers. By the way, I went through Seneca Falls, New York in 1980 on my solo bicycle trip across the United States. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. From 1980 to 2013. Wow, those ensuing years, so much has happened, good and bad, unbelievable. Never would have ordered it for myself, yet here I am to be back in Seneca Falls after all those years on four wheels instead of two, heralding the evangel instead of sweating through the Finger Lakes area of New York during a heat wave in 1980. I will never forget. I was taking a break in 1980 in New York, somewhere on Route 20, somewhere near the Finger Lakes, in between Albany, Buffalo and Albany, and I remember sitting with my back against a grocery store, as I was wont to do in those days, drinking orange juice, eating a pack of cookies, listening to my radio, my transistor radio with a little earplug, and they were telling people that it was so hot. This was the heat wave. Look it up, 1980 heat wave. People were dying in Texas. They weren't doing too great in New York either, especially those who were bicycling across the country, going 80 miles a day in 100-degree heat and 100% humidity. And anyway, I was listening to the radio, and they were telling people, take cold baths in order to survive. Take cold baths. And here I was. Not only was I not taking a cold bath, I was bicycling up and down incredibly steep hills with full packs, having arrived in New York from Los Angeles 40 days before. So good time had I back there in 1980, and now in 2013, probably could say I had a better time. Wow. And people were delivered at this conference. There's just one woman I'm thinking of. I'm not going to give you her name. You know, I hesitate to even give you the circumstances, but let us just say that when the videos of this conference are released, when you see Clyde Pilkington's talk from Sunday, what would the date have been? I don't know. It's called What They Never Taught Me in Sunday School. Oh my goodness. This woman was so delivered from religious bondage that she was practically, I mean, you know, I'm always on here poo-pooing these Pentecostal type miracles, and well I should, and well I do, and well will I continue to do so. People who I think are, you know, falsely delivered from headaches and toothaches and miraculously cured from hemorrhoids and everything like that. Nobody ever checks them. Let me see that hemorrhoid. No, nobody ever checks up on that. Who would want to check up on that? Who is it? We're coming to check on your hemorrhoid. You said it was healed. We want to make sure. No, but anyway, I saw this woman delivered from religious bondage thanks to Clyde Pilkington. Oh my gosh, you have to hear it to believe it. I'm not even going to tell you about it. But when these videos come out, I'm telling you, every video, every message was great, including mine, just great. But Clyde's on Sunday was fabulous. Sheridan's talking about being delivered from politics. James Flanders talked about love. Nobody thinks that we folks who do in-depth studies into the Greek and Hebrew and believe in the salvation of all and all this, we just don't love anybody. We're all intellectual and our heads get bigger by the day. Someday we won't be able to fit through the door because all of the knowledge we're storing in our brains, and of course we don't love anybody, and we're just a bunch of Goodyear blimps or Hindenburgs, and we're swelled intellectually, but our hearts are the size of the Grinch's heart before he was born again on the slopes of Mount Crumpet. This is so untrue. James Flanders talked about love, and he was so effective that, I kid you not, this Muslim dude, probably, I don't know, how old do you think that guy was? Yeah, early 30s. He was walking by the hall in Seneca Falls, New York, and he overheard us. He was jogging. We're right along Lake Cuyahoga. Cuyahoga Lake, one of the Finger Lakes. There are 11 Finger Lakes for those of you out there who are dying to know. This guy's walking past. He hears something quite interesting he's never heard before. They're singing without ribbons. They're singing without tags. They're singing without packages, boxes, or bags. The Grinch, anyway. I kind of improvised there. But And he comes in and he sits down. Nobody sees him. He sits in the back and he listens to the last part, or the practically the whole message of James Flanders, who's there from Arizona, an awesome teacher. And anyway, he's talking about love. And this Muslim guy says, "Man," he asked Lenny Pappano, the host, "can I address this group?" And the guy did. And he said, "You guys are amazing. I've never heard such acceptance, such love coming from any group of Christians." And of course, usually this Muslim guy gets persecuted by Christians. And so little does he know how really, well, I'm going to say this, okay? He didn't really realize the depth of our unacceptingness and the depth of our acceptingness. What do I mean by that? I mean that he thought we were just accepting anybody. But no, no one can come to God except through the faith of Jesus Christ. So as a Muslim, he's not coming into Aeonian life. And yet we accept everyone because at the end, all of humanity will come into eternal life. So he missed it on both ends, but he still recognized the Spirit of God in us. And he stood there and he said he was a little nervous, but he really spoke eloquently and he complimented us. And he said, "I've never felt as accepted as I have from you folks." And of course, James Flanders wasn't talking to him personally, but our message includes everyone. Eventually, that's the thing. See, eventually he was right. We're so all-inclusive. But in the meantime, we are very careful as far as keeping the elements of the faith pure from anything that would taint them, including the Islam religion. But we didn't say that to him. At least, I don't think so. I saw Sheridan talking to him, and then I saw James Flanders talking to him. Anyhow, as you can tell, the 2 Timothy series is over. It finished with the interview of Clyde Pilkington on Friday, the author of The Church in Ruins. And then we had a talk last night in Seneca Falls, New York, overlooking Cuyahoga Lake with James Flanders, Dan Sheridan, Clyde Pilkington, and myself. I hope you enjoyed that interview. We talked about the importance of fellowship. And, you know, right now I'm just trying to unwind from the trip. We had a 5-hour trip back today. And, you know, you just get so exhausted. You just spend yourself emotionally and spiritually at these conferences. And I can't wait for you to see the videos of that. So I'm not ready to start the Revelation series yet. I'll probably look in July. So in the meantime, I'm going to come up with a mini series. Now, I'm going to deliver on this. I really am, but this is a big deal. Because once I start this thing, it's going to until the snatching away. And you're going to learn more about Revelation than you ever knew before. I'm going to use A. Enoch's book, as I told you, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, as a template. I'm going to Zenderize it. I'm going to riff off of it. I'm going to elaborate on it. I'm going to go deeper even than A. Enoch went on it. And you are going to learn stuff you never heard about the unveiling. Why reinvent the wheel? This is the best book ever written on the book of Revelation. When I start that series, you're not only going to have audio, you're going to be able to download the show as an MP3 or listen to it like you're doing now. It's going to be on video 5 days a week. Every show, you're going to be able to watch me doing it. And then you're going to have a text file. I'm going to do a voice-to-text recognition software deal that C3 is going to help me with. And we're going to have a separate website dedicated to this show. Big stuff coming, and I got to make sure I got it right. I got to make sure it's streamlined, so give me some time. I know things are moving along. Don't worry about that. In the meantime, I have 2 days here, and we have to leave already. I'm not sure how keen I am on that. I mean, I love the fact that I'm going to Birmingham, going to BAMI. I love it. They love the governor there. I'm going to tell you more about this, but I just got home. And I really love to get into routines, but there ain't going to be no routines this week. I have 2 days. I got to work out. I got to start eating right again. And because I screwed up a little bit, not too badly, but I screwed up a little bit in Seneca Falls. Got to get back on the horse there. But in the meantime, did I say I had to work out? All right, I did. All right, I got to work out. And people expect me to know what I'm talking about in Bama, so I got to study. I got to study for Bam Bam, and I'm going to do that. So don't worry, you folks in you folks in Birmingham, where they love the governor. I am going to know what I'm talking about, and we're going to bring you some great stuff. Clyde, Dan, and I are. In the meantime, I'm going to fill in here with a miniseries. Don't know what that's going to be yet. So I want to go to the book of Colossians. People say, "Martin, when were you saved?" Okay? Well, I was saved 2,000 years ago. That's what I always tell people, and I recommend that you tell them that too. But the question they want to ask, but they don't, but this is what they mean to ask, is when did you realize your salvation? When did you realize what Jesus Christ had done for you 2,000 years ago? Well, that was sometime in 1986, I think. I was first awakened. Now, this is a whole different thing. I was awakened to God and began to seek Him in 1979. That's when I bought my first Bible, New American Standard Bible. Still have that today. In fact, Aaron Locker walked past it. It was on the kitchen table in Seneca Falls. Thanks to Lenny Papano, by the way, who hosted us and rented this great house for us. Anyway, Aaron Locker's walking past it. He goes, that Bible looks like it's been through a car wash, Zender. He's talking about my 1979 NASB, and indeed it does. But I started to seek in 1979, but I wasn't saved in 1979. I thought I was. I think I said some kind of sinner's prayer, but I had not yet realized that my salvation was totally by Christ. I thought that I accepted Him, and that's why I was saved. I learned that that wasn't true. Then I learned that death was death, and I think that was 1986, and I realized, OMG, Jesus Christ died for my sake. That was, I was a believer that day. That day. There was a day when I was a believer. Now, see, before then I was a Christian. Between 1979 and 1983, I was a Christian. I know, I hate to tell you that. I know. It's time they know. It's time that I told you that. So let's see, 780, 1, 2, 4 years I was a Christian. And then I became a believer. And I became a believer, I think, in 86. Maybe it was 85, probably 86. And there is a detailed analysis of when people come to believe. And I'm going to take you to Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to do it tomorrow. I know, I'm sorry. I know I didn't get to this because I'm a little slap happy right now. I'm tired. I need to go to bed sometime soon here. And so I'm going to go to Colossians tomorrow. Remind me of this. Somebody remind me, because I'm going to show you the nuts and bolts of when you believed. And it's right there in Colossians chapter 1. You can read it ahead of time. I don't care. Go ahead, cheat. You can cheat. I don't care. Go ahead. You can read it ahead of time. I want you to do your homework, and I'm going to take you through chapter 1, verse by verse, and show you the nuts and bolts of when you believed. And it could be, as I'm reading this passage, and I'm probably going to dip into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, I'm probably going to dip in there. You might not even be a believer now. Most of you are. I understand this. There may be some new listeners who think they're believers, but they're believing falsehood. Feigned believers, not on purpose necessarily, but nevertheless. All right, folks, I'm glad to be back with you. I love routine. I really do. It's nice to get away from it, but in order to get away from it, you have to have it. I'll never forget, my wife's grandparents used to go to Florida when in their retirement for the winter, and her Aunt Mary would call, and she would say, is this an aunt or a grandma? I don't know who the heck this is. Oh, her name was Mary, and she would call and say, we're taking a coffee break. And my question was always, a coffee break from what? A coffee break from what? This has been Martin Zender. Thank you for joining me. We'll be here tomorrow with Colossians chapter 1.